Okay, Rav Osai. Let's begin with a Gemara in Shabbos, Perek Tolin, Daf Kuflamites Amid Beis. Kuflamites Amid Beis.
Very simple.
And the Gemara says the following. Omar Ziri Nosein Adam Yayin Solul Umayim Tzlulim Litoch Hamshameres B'Shabbos V'Eino Koshesh Avalachurim Lo. So the Gemara establishes in the name of Ziri that under what circumstances does the Isur Borer apply in a case of Yayin or Mayim where you want to remove certain impurities, certain sediments. So it depends, says Ziri, that if it's a case of Mayim Tzluim or Yayin Tzolul, and presumably in such a case he's improving the Yayin, he's improving the Mayim, but it's not an absolute requirement, meaning it's not indispensable, it's already Tzolul, it's already pretty much cleaned, he's just doing a more, an additional sinu, an additional process of sifting out the sediments, is that's not considered borer. However, achurim, if on the other hand there's a serious substantial mixture of sediments in the wine, lo, then he's not allowed to use this thing called a mishameres, a misanenes, because that's going to be an iser borer. Meisve, the Gemara Sakasha from a brisa. The brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Toreid Adam Chavish Shal Yayin. A person is allowed to take a barrel of wine which has sediments in it. The sediments generally land or sink to the bottom of the barrel, and he's allowed to mix it around. That's called Toreid. And now, as a result, he's got Yena Ushmareha. He's got the wine together with the Shmarim. And then when he gets to serving the wine, Nosein L'soch HaMeshameres B'Shabbos V'Eino Choshesh. And this brisa seems to assume that even though the Yayin now has the status of Achur, meaning that now that he's mixed it up, there's a serious, substantial mixture of sediments in the wine, nevertheless, he's allowed to do this process of Meshameres, and there's no violation of Borer. So how do we reconcile Ziri with this brisa of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Ziri on the one hand says that once you have Yayin Achur, that means it's hardly drinkable. Maybe some people would drink it, but generally speaking you would avoid it because there's a serious substantial amount of sediments in the wine. Then you're not allowed to subject it to the process of Sinun. And by using this Mishmeres you violate the Mleches Bor. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that even though he was Toreif, which means he mixed it all together, then nevertheless he's allowed to pour the wine through this mishmeres and sift out the sediments. So the Gemara answers the following. Tirgema, the Gemara interprets this brisa bein hagitos shanu. The brisa is talking about a period of time which is called bein hagitos. And during this period of time, all the wine on the market is achurim. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, Bein Hagitos. Just 1 second, I lost it for a second. Rashi says, Bein Hagitos Shanu. Shekol Hayenos Achurim. Everything out there in the market at this particular period of time is a mixture of wine and sediments. Vishosim Osam Bishimrehem. And that's the way that people get used to drinking it. You know, again, if all things were perfect and equal, they wouldn't drink. But that's what's available out there in the market. That's what's sold in the marketplace. Hilkach Ein Kan Tikun. This is not called a tikkun. Why? The belav hachi mishtasei. That even if they wouldn't remove the sediments, the wine would still be drinkable. People drink the wine. And therefore, ein kan tikkun, meaning he's not making a substantial change in the wine. And that's not called borer.
Weren't we learned that something needed in Boer, a tikkun. I've got two fruits, I'm taking one out. I didn't make it better, I just took the one I wanted. It's not tikkun.
Okay, so wait, let's just go slowly. So we'll get to all the questions, but first we have to develop, what do we have in front of us right now in this sugya? As far as Meleches Boer is concerned, we have the following conclusion. That are you allowed to be Mesanein Yayin with a Mishmeres on Shabbos? Is that a violation of Boer? Is it not? And the Gemara says in the name of Ze'iri that it depends. If we're talking about Yayin Solul, then you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to pour it into this Mishmeres. If on the other hand, it is what? Is Yayin Achur? Then it becomes Meleches Boer. Then the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Gemara says that the Braisa allows using this Mishmeres on Shabbos because, according to the Gemara's interpretation, Bibein Hagito Shanu, and Rashi says at that period of time, people would drink the wine even though it has a mixture of what? Of Shmarim in it, and it's not called a Tikkun. So again, Rashi makes this, I want to see how we can find this in the poskim. Rashi makes it all dependent upon whether or not it's mishtase. Is it drunk? Do we drink it as is? Or do we need to do this process of sinun, of selecting and removing the sediments in order to make it drinkable? That's what we have so far. Let's just go slowly and try not to barrage me with too many questions because I'll get very, very flustered and very confused. I just want to point out here, number one, that the Rambam has a different pshat in this Gemara. Because the Rambam in Perek Chesmi, Hilchas Shabbos Halacha Yudalid, when he speaks about being Meshamer Yayin, the Rambam says that Yayin Migito, what's this business about Yayin Migito, which is our Gemara that we learned here in Kuflamites, the Rambam says, Kolzmanchu toseis toref chavis bishmarea, v'nostan letocha sudarim. There's no violation of an Iser Borer in the case of Yayin Migito. Why? Because apparently Yayin Migito is a very early stage, right? You know, right after you would dorech the Yayin and you removed the liquids from the grapes. And the Rambam says, Adayin, at this point, lo nifreshu hashmarim in a Yayin yofe yofe. The shmarim have not been separated from the Yayin. So the shmarim were there to begin with and they've never been removed. Yafe Yafe, meaning in a separate entity. And the Rambam says it's not called Borer. Why? Kol Hayayin Kiguf Echadhu. I don't know if anybody remembers that we made a big deal about this Rambam last week. That the Rambam assumes that if you have something called Guf Echad, it means Adayin Lo Nifreshu Ashmarim in Ayayin. At this stage of Gito, he hasn't yet removed the Shmarim in Ayayin. The Shmarim and the Ayayin are considered one entity, and that's not called Borer. In other words, the Rambam establishes here a fundamental condition in Borer. And this touches on the very essential definition of what Borer is. And that is that Borer means separating two things that are separate, they're entities, but they're Muhuravim Zebazet. But if you're taking something out of its or off its goof, and it's all goof echad, so you're taking part of a goof and removing it, that's not called Borer. Okay, that's what we have here. So notice that Rashi and the Rambam have two fundamentally different understandings of why the Borer is, why Borer is not an issue in the case of Gita, of Gitos. The Rashi learns it's a period of time in which everyone's drinking the wine with the Shmarim, and therefore, since everyone's drinking the wine in any event, it's like Yayin Solul, Mayim Solul, and it's not called a Tikkun. The Rambam, on the other hand, says a whole different shot here. And that Gita has something to do with the fact that the Shmarim have never been properly separated from the Yayin, and therefore they're still part of the same entity called yain, and there's no borer in a case of guf echad. Okay, so Rabosha, I apologize profusely. I'm just not ready for questions yet. Give me a few minutes to see how the poskim accept Rashi, how the poskim accept the Rambam, how they formulate it, and then you'll ask your questions. Please, I beg of you, only because Maleches Borer is very complicated. I'm just trying slowly but surely to put the pieces together and to choose the good from the bad. Just kidding. Okay, so let me throw out a whole bunch of information for you, and then we'll see some of this inside. We have pages and pages to go through, to plow through. I don't know, I was trained by my Rebbe, you don't ask questions till you know what's going on. Right now I don't know what's going on, so I can't ask any questions. Okay, number one, the poskim quote the Yam Shel Shlomo at the end of the first parak of Beitzah, and that's on Siman Mem Beis, and that's Borer Egozim Ubotnim Miklipasam. Now you want to take off the shells of nuts and walnuts, and the Yam Shel Shlomo is Matir it Mikavan de Guf Echadhu Ein Bozem Mishum Brera. Since the Klipa of the Botnim and the Egozim is one with the Egos and the Botnim, the Egozim and Botnim, therefore it's not called Brera. What does that remind you of, Rabosai? The Rambam. It sounds like the Yam Shel Shlomo, without quoting the Rambam, is coming up with the same fundamental breakthrough that there's no Borer if it's Guf Echad. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Rambam, at the end of Shin Chaf Aleph, which I have somewhere on this, oh, here it is. It should be right here. Oh, there it is.
This is mine.
Oh, so wait a minute. Didn't I have? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I got it. Okay, it's just that they do look very similar. So I. So the Rambam says the following: Asur Liklof Shumin Ubitzalim. The Rambam paskins that you're not allowed to peel shumin ubitzalim unless it's for immediate use. And the Mishnah Brura adds that where is this coming from? It's coming from a Yerushalmi. We'll try to look at the Yerushalmi if we can. And the Mishnah Brura goes on and says, V'hu adin tapuchim egozim ushkedim v'chayotze bazeh. Okay, now let's take a look at Debir Aloch and see if he can help us understand what's going on here. He says that this Ramah, that paskins that you're not allowed to take off the klipa of Shumin Ubitzolim, is based on the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, on the other hand, is based on the Yerushalmi. And Yerushalmi says, Yesh Bazem Mishum Meleches Borer. And then he says the following, Yesh Ledagdek, I'm skipping a line, came under Kolef Bechlal Borerhu, Litzar Afilu Lechol Lialter. The Mishnah Berurah is confused about the fact that the Ramah, when he codifies this Yerushalmi, he stipulates that the reason why and the condition that sets up Meleches Borer is because he is putting away the Betzolim or the Shumin for later use. But if, on the other hand, he is going to eat it immediately, then it's not Borer. So the Mishnah Berurah is confused about that. He says, L'chori yesh l'dagdek came into Kolef Bechlal Borer, who if taking off the peels is Borer, then Litzar Afilu Lechol Lialta. This is what we call Psolas Mitoch Ochel. Again, we don't know this yet, but we're going to learn later on at some point, either today or another day, that if you take psoles from ochel, that's called borer, even if you mean to eat it immediately. And if the Ramah, based on the Yerushalmi, codifies the halacha that there is borer in removing a klipa, as opposed to the Yam Shel Shlomo, and before him the Rambam, that if it's guf echad, there's no borer, then you're taking out psoles from ochel. And therefore, if you're taking up souls from Ochel, is Kfar Nisbar Liel B'Simon Shin Yud Tes. Okay, we should have known Shin Yud Tes because we're already holding in Shin Chafal, but we didn't go through Shin Yud Tes yet. that psoles mitoch ochel is afil li'alter chayev. And therefore, if we're going to assume that the Ramah is correct, the Yerushalmi is correct, that there is borer in removing a klipa, then it becomes psoles mitoch ochel, which is also even li'alter. Are you with me on this? Even li'alter, you're not allowed to take psoles mitoch ochel. How then can the Ramah stipulate that the only reason he's chayav here for Melechus Borer is because he's Bor Laniach, which means he's going to eat the Shuman or the Betzolim later on? Says the Mishnah Berurah, even if he would be to, even if I would grant you that he's eating the Shuman and the Betzolim immediately, it would still be a violation of Melechus Borer. And the reason for that is because it's Psolos Mitoch Ochel. And we paskin in Shin Yud Tes that psoles mitoch ochel is asur even when? Even le'alter, even if it's for immediate use, for immediate achila. And the Bir Halacha is about to embark upon an entire shtickle Torah here, a chiddush, to try to justify why the Ramah is able to be lenient about kolef shumen u'bitzolim if he's eating it le'alter. And he gets it from a sugya in Beitza. So let's just take a look for a minute at the sugya in Beitza, and let's see what the Mishnah Berurah derives from the sugya in Beitza about kolef. And the sugya in Beitza, we've once touched upon it way back in Elul, I think it was. This sugya in Beitza has something to do with what's called Gmar Malach LaMaisris, in the question of Ma'amer, if he takes together all the Betzolim and he makes a big pile out of it, then it's Tevel. Is he now Chayev in Hafrashis Trumas of Isis because he's reached the state of Gemar Malach? That's what the subject of this sugya is in Beitza. But the Gemara establishes here in Masechta Beitza that Hamakalef, if he removes the peel from Seorim, is then Makalif achas achas vi ochel. In other words, it's not yet called Gmar Malacha when he takes off the klipa. So every time he takes off one klipa, he's allowed to eat that vegetable or that grain. But if he does a massive amount of kiluf of the siorim, that's already considered Gmar Malacha. And he's chayev in Shumas and Maisers. Omer Rabbi Loza v'chein l'Shabbos. So it seems like Rabbi Loza is telling us that just like he's chayev in Shumas and Maisers, he'd be chayev for violating Shabbos. Why? Apparently, Melech es Borer. So the Gemara right away asks for Rav. We have a Maiser Rav. Mekalfo le debesu kisei kisei. Rav's wife would remove the klipos of the vegetables. The Gemara tells another story, Rav Chia, Makafle de Besu Kisei Kisei. And therefore the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Om Rav Loza V'chein L'Shabbos, the Gemara says, Linyan Shabbos, Lo Avi Malacha, Linyan Maiser Havi Gemar Malacha. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, this is not considered a Malacha of Borer. And the Gemara says, why is that so? Again, I'm fast-forwarding to the punchline of the sugya. My Islam Lameimar, what's the difference between Gmar Malach Lameiser and Meleches Borer as far as Shabbos is concerned? Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. That with regard to Shabbos, we have a principle called Meleches Machsheves. What does the Mishnah Berurah see and derive from this sugya? And how is it going to help him? He says the following. Ein lahakshos al divrei rishonim shehema hatruma, that's the Baal Trumas, the Smag, the Mordechai, shetiku divrei Yushalmi anal, the kolev chayev mishum borer lehalocha, and that's we saw that the Ramah, therefore based on the Rishonim that came before him, the Paskins, like the Yerushalmi, that Kolef is Borer. And he says, you'll ask the following question. He says, Ha'isa bebeitza daf yud gimel amid beis, Rav miklefu lebeise debeisu kasei kasei. So it seems that klipa lekalef is not asur on Shabbos. And then he suggests the possibility that maybe there's a difference between klipa siorin and klipa shumin. He rejects that. And he says, yesh lomar, disham mairi bidaito lecho lialter. He wants to suggest the following, that there's a fundamental difference between taking off the klipa for purpose of immediate eating, and that's what the Sugyan Beitza says, that it's mutter, as opposed to the Yushalmi, where the Yushalmi is talking about a case where he's kolef and he's not interested in eating it immediately. And he says the following, Yeshom desham mairi bedaito lechol lialter. And then I'm fast forwarding. He goes into discussion here about maisers here, and then he says the following: Amar Abulaz v'chein l'shabbos, eini for Rav Makalfli the Beisu, etc. Tzeli itmar, Reb Lazar asef itmar, and that's talking about maisers. He says, but as far as Shabbos is concerned, lo. And why? Because in Shabbos you need a meleches machshavas. So for example, in the case of Ma'amer, when he gathers together the Bitzolim, he might be considered Gmar Malachet Le'inyan what? Le'inyan Maiser, but Le'inyan Shabbos he's Patur. And why is that? Because meleches machshavas Asra Torah, says the Bir Allah, what's Meleches Machshavas Asra Torah? He's quoting Rashi and Beitza, Dainu Meleches Umnus. But taking the onions and gathering them together in a basket is not a violation of Meleches Ma'amar, because that's not called what? A Meleches Umnus. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'hachinami Le'inyan Kolef. Kolef is also a ptur of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. It means the following, that there was a havamin in the Gemara that kolef is considered a melacha. Rashi says maybe it's meleches dash. The Yushalmi understood that there was meleches borer. Aval lefi maskonas habavli, kolef patur mishum de meleches machsheves asra Torah. V'lo havi al zeh shem melacha klal. So he says the following, that according to the Bavli, Kiluf is not a Meleches Borer. But again, not for the reason of the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah is completely oblivious to the Rambam. He's saying the reason why the Sugya establishes that Kolef is not Meleches Borer is because it's not a Meleches Machsheves, it's not a Meleches Umnus. In the Havamina of the Bavli, the Gemara thought that maybe Kolef is enough of a serious melacha to be considered borer, and that's the way the Yushalmi paskins that there is borer in meleches kolef. But lefi maskonas habavli, kolef potu mishum de meleches machsheves asra Torah v'lo havi al zeh shem melacha klal. Oh, now here's the Mishnah Berurah. He says, what would be in a case of borer, or I should say kolef liachar zman? He says the following, afilu bedaito lecho liachar zman, just like in the case of ma'amer, where when he gathers together the onions and he puts them into a basket, he's potter, even if he's not eating the betzolim immediately, because that's considered a lack of meleches machsheves, meaning it's not called a meleches umnus. Once it's not called a meleches umnus, then it's not a melacha at all. V'chein b'chol mokum de'isa b'shas de'potu mishum meleches machsheves. Whenever you'll find anywhere in Shas that there's a p'tur meleches machsheves, v'adai de'b'chol gavnei potur de'lo havi melacha klal v'yimkein hu adin le'inyin kilof or kolef. Ubi alma, when do we say that borer psolis mitoch ochel is chayav? He's chayav even though what? Even though he wants to eat it immediately. That's because it's mikri meleches machsheves. It's considered meleches machsheves. The borer min echad mechavero, that if he's taking one min out of the other, this sounds a little bit like the Rambam, then it's considered a meleches machsheves. In other words, when is it significant enough to be considered meleches machsheves such that it's meleches borer by definition, and therefore we're not even going to differentiate between lialter or liachar zman? That's only in the case of borer min echad mi chavero. Umad is shari sham lialter. So you'll ask me, well, if this is a meleches machsheves, it's very significant to take one min out of another min. So why should it be mutu lialter? He says derech achilu b'kach. This is the famous principle of the Ramban. Kein niral anias daiti lule divrei rishonim hanal. So Rav Moshe, it comes out that if I understand correctly, everyone can check this out in the Mishnah Berurah. I gave it on the Maror HaMakomos pages. I didn't hide it from you. That according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Bavli is not on board with the Yerushalmi, because the Bavli has a more fundamental issue here in rejecting Kolef as Borer, because it's not considered what? Meleches Machsheves. And therefore, even if he'd be Kolef Liliachar Zman, that's not, whenever it says Ptur Meleches Machsheves, it's Bechol Gavni. There are no ifs, ands, and buts, no conditions, and he's always going to be Potter because it's not Meleches Machsheves. It's a deficiency in the very Melech itself. Masha Enkein, if he's Borer Min Echad Michavero, then he says that's considered a meleches machsheves. I mean, we have to figure out why, but that's considered a meleches machsheves. And therefore, there really should be no heter whatsoever of borer in those cases. That's because of a new principle called derech achila. So Rav Moshe, he keeps saying, lule de mistafina. You know, he's saying lule divrei rishonim. He admits that the rishonim did not operate with this principle. They assumed that kolef, based on the Yerushalmi, is considered a meleches machsheves. But he says, what are we going to do with the Bavli? The Bavli seems to assume that Rav had his wife being kolef for him, and probably it would make no difference whether it was immediate use or liachar zman. In both cases, it's not meleches machsheves. And that's not called a meleches umnis. Now, if you take a look at the Bir Halacha in Simon Shin Yud Tes, and we compare the two Bir Halachas, there, on this on page 280, if you happen to have this printing of the Mishnah Berurah, he writes in the middle of this very long presentation called Mitoch Ochel, he says, Mashahevi Mogen Avram b'Siman Tov Kuf Yud b'Shem Ayam Shel Shlomo le'inyan luzim ubotnim shenishtabru v'adayin heim b'klipasam.
They may be cracked, but they're not skinned yet.
Right? He says, Kosev Beis Yosef b'Sof Siman Shin Chof Aleph b'Shem Ayushalmi da kolef shumen u'betzolim chayav mishum borer. So we have now l'chora stira between the Yerushalmi and the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam Shel Shlomo allows you to remove these klipos. He says the chiyaso urak mashesosa mayam shel shlomo because of the ein shem melacha olav mashma afilu kavanosa yibazeh aliachar zman ulazeh hisig, and that's why the Ramah was masig, because according to the Yam Shel Shlomo, it's not considered a meleches borer at all. Ain't alav shame melacha klal, and therefore he would not even be required that you eat or that you need it for immediate achila. So in this case, the Magen Avram and the Ramah before the Magen Avram are paskening like the Yerushalmi that there is meleches borer in the case of kolef. But he says, "Avoli alter, if he needs it immediately, is then gamma magen avram moda the ain shame borer all of kedisa sham bebeis yosef kufalei achon li alter mutol liklov shumen b'tzolim." So again, it seems like the Mishnah Berurah here in the Bir Halach and Shin Yud Tes is totally unaware or totally ignores his
there yet.
Yeah, he's not bothered by the question. You know, if you take a look, for example, here on page 281, he says that Kevin Shehu Aliachar Zman, in the case of Kolev, Chayiv Mishum Borer Kedi Isa BiYushalmi Huvim Beis Yosef Sof Simon Shinchof Alef Evi Ramah Shambaga. Is therefore wrote Zalita and Shumir of Bitzolim Aliachar Zman Lo Yiklefenu. In other words, here in Shin Yud Tes, the Mishnah Berurah has no problem with making a distinction in Kolev between Liachar Zman and Lialter. That distinction, in his mind, makes sense because in Hilchus Borer we have this heta called Derech Achila. Derech Achila doesn't apply in Psolus Mitoch Ochel. I don't know. That the Mishnah Berurah doesn't raise as an issue. But if you fast forward to Shin Chof Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah is all of a sudden very bothered by this, and he says he doesn't understand the difference between Kolev Lealter, Fachil Lealter, and Kolev Leachar Zman. In both cases, it's Psolos Mitoch Ochel, assuming that there is a Meleches Kolev. He quotes the Yamshel Shlomo, who's of the opinion that Kolev ain't a Lavshem Melech HaKlal, and even therefore Leachar Zman would be Mutter. But you get the impression that the reason for the base, for the Yamshel Shlomo is because there is no such thing as kolef as borer beguf echad. That's the impression you would get from the Yamshel Shlomo himself. He learns the Mishnah Berurah that the reason why there's no meleches kolef is because it's not a meleches umnus, and therefore it doesn't have the status of meleches machshavas asur Torah. So let's just summarize. We have three different approaches to the case of kolef. Well, actually, maybe we have four. Let's see if we have four different approaches. One approach is to say that kolev is the same as psolos mitoch ochel. You violate meleches borer, and it's considered meleches machshevus, and it would make no difference whether it was fully altered immediate use or liachar zman, because if it's psolos mitoch ochel, we paskin, it's always awesome. The other opinion is to say that in the case of kolev, the Yushalmi is accepted la'alocha, there is meleches borer, but only if it's liachar zman. If it's for immediate use, then the Yushalmi is matarit, and there's a new heta called kederach achila, even though he's taking off the klipa, maybe because that's the way you eat it, you take off the klipa. Then we have another shita, which argues that kolef is not meleches borer at all. And here we have two different versions. One version is to say it doesn't have a shame malacha because, as the Gemara establishes in Beitza, it's like ma'amer, which is not a meleches machsheves, and it's lacking in umnus. And the other way of explaining it is based on the Rambam and the Yamshel Shlomo, that the reason why there's no meleches borer in kolev is because it's guf echad, and there's no such thing as borer in the case of guf echad. Now, where do we have the Aruch HaShulchan? And then I'll take questions because I'm a little bit more oriented at this point. The Aruch HaShulchan you'll find here on the flip side of the Yushalmi. So thanks again to Yechiel for doing this work for us, and to Mitch also for photocopying it. And everyone is chipping in here on this very day of chipping in, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And he says the following. I'm looking for the Yushalmi. It's towards the bottom of the page, no? Or it's on the top. Shochek, where is it?
It's two-thirds of the way down in the Chofes. The quote Yushalmi. You don't know where the...
No, the Yushalmi itself I'm looking for. I just wanted to try the Yushalmi. He says... Where was it? I had it. Okay, I'm not finding it right now. I don't want to hold you up on that, but hopefully we'll find it. It's definitely on this page, right?
Well, the so you that the Rabbi Yosef was quoting is the first two words of the page.
Yeah, but it should be more. Oh, maybe because he says
Kad Mevarek Klipaisu
Mishum Borer. I don't know what the word Mevarek. Okay, fine. Anyway, so let's take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan for a minute. I'm not going to go through the whole arichus of the Aruch HaShulchan, but he has a new pshat in the Yushalmi. And he mentions also the sugya in Beitza. So the sugya in Beitza would seem to indicate that makalif si'orim is mutter, and it's not considered borer. Why then does Yerushalmi consider it borer? And about 10 lines down, he says, L'chein nira li d'hachi perusho. The ein kavanosim k'shekolfan u'meiniach ha'klipos b'fnei atzmon. In other words, the original kiluf, even according to the Yerushalmi, is not considered borer, because kiluf is not borer, as we saw in the Gemara in Beitza. Ella kolfan, what he does is, he first removes the klipa, and then aklipos mu'uravos bahem. He leaves the klipos still mixed in to this tarovis. And therefore, he says when he removes it a second time, it's already shnei gufim at that point, and therefore he's chayav mishum borer. So the Aruch HaShulchan, and he wants to push this into the Ramah as well, which is, again, Iker HaChasim and HaSefer, it doesn't say this. He says, Gam, if you fast forward towards the end of the paragraph, he says, Gam kavadas HaRamah, Rabbein HaRamah kein, kishamu rovim yachad, afo pishol kosam mefurish kein. Dim lo kein lo shayach bazeh brer. So basically, the Aruch HaShulchan accepts the Bavli in Beitza, hook, line, and sinker. He has his own twist, which is based on the Amshul Shlomo, which in turn, I think, is based on the Rambam, that there's no such thing as Borer Beguf Echad. And therefore, if you take off the peel, Kolef, that's not called Moleches Borer. What do we do with Yerushalmi? He says you have to interpret the Yerushalmi in a way where there were two rounds, so to speak. There were two stages. And stage number one, he cracks the nut in such a way that the klipa is removed from the nut. But he hasn't yet picked up all the klipos. You know, it's all in one big taroves, muravim bahem, haklipos muravim. But now, when he takes out the klipos, it's no longer guf echad, and therefore, he's chayav mishum moleches borer. Again, how it's going to help him with the Bir Alacha's objection about the miyad business, that I don't know. Go ahead, Mitch. Now the floor is yours. just want to get some of the facts down on the table. So,
my question
is a different one. Okay.
Could you explain how Meleches Machsheves plays into Boer?
In other words, certain actions are not considered a major impact, meaning the reality or the nature of things, Betevas, is already there. You didn't really change anything. You know, you didn't improve much. So he says that when you have two minim and you're trying to remove one min from the other, that's a major impact. And that's called Meleches Machsheves. But he says, when you remove the klipa, I mean, that doesn't take much. You know, sometimes you could find, even in the case of onions, you know, depends where you buy your onions, that the klipa is not even that firmly attached to the onions. So that's not called a Meleches Machsheves. Yeah, Gedalia.
I see two possibilities of understanding Shehu Keguf Echad. And for me, it's interesting that as opposed to the Yamshel Shlomo, who writes it regarding the case of Egozim and Klipa like that, the Rambam doesn't write it regarding the Klipa of Egozim. He writes it regarding the Shmarim
in the Yayin.
I think you could make a distinction that there are two types of Guf Echad. One is, you know, tea and sugar. You put the sugar in the tea, it becomes a guf echad. It's one. And that's the wine
liquids,
and the shmarm.
That's
it, the wine and the shmarm.
Yeah. I was thinking also, there's only liquids wine. And solids.
There's only wine here. You wouldn't say that I have here wine and shmarm. You'd say I have wine here. That's the definition of guf echad. Not that there are two distinct things that you can see. So the klipa, you have a klipa, you have the inside, you have the outside. Right. Those are two very distinct differences.
So the Yamshel Shlomo makes a major advancement over the Rambam.
Right.
You know, the Rambam might be limited to liquids.
That's,
then it's considered
really
guf echad. Like, for example, you have many dinim in Masechta Avodah Zarah about negias akum b'yayin, and we say that if the shmarim are mixed into the yayin or any liquids that are mixed together, it's considered guf echad, and therefore the whole thing is awesome. Masha Enkein says, Gedalia, when it comes to solids, that's already a different story. You know, you have different parts of the solid. They always remain separate. It's Nikar La'ayin. You can see it in front of you. These are the klipos, and these are the egozim, or the botnim. And maybe there in that that case, the Yamshel Shlomo went a little bit too far, and he calls it Guf Echad.
The Rambam also brings the example of Chardal, which seems to be like it lushed the Chardal, so it also became a liquefied form. It's, again, it's something that you can't...
It's liquefied.
Nice.
Okay, Rabosai, what I want to do with you now is to go back again to the sugya on Kuf Lamed Tes and speak about this business of Yayin. And again, we're talking about a case of Sinun Yayin, and the Gemara makes the distinction between Yayin Achur and Yayin Sol. In the case of Yayin Sol, Zairi says you're allowed to do this sinun process even in a mishameres, and in the case of yayin achur, not. That's asur, because he's removing a significant presence of the sediments in the wine. The yayin is achur; it's full of sediments. And the Gemara says that begitos, bein agitos is different, and Rashi says bein agitos people will drink the wine even though it's achur. Okay, so let me just mention to you, first of all, that Rashi is not alone. And the Rashba and the Ran agree to Rashi, but there is a difference between the Rashba and the Ran. They all believe that whether it's Borer or not depends upon whether it's drinkable. People drink it, they don't drink it. Is it Royal Ishtia? Mayim Yayin Achur is Royal Ishtia as it is, but... On the other hand, during certain periods of time, people will not be excited about drinking Yayin Achur, and therefore there is Borer. Other periods of time, according to Rashi and the Rashba, people will drink it with the Yayin, even though it's Achur, and therefore there's no Borer. Okay. Comes along the Rashba, and again he's in the camp of Rashi, and he says the following, that if it's achur and it's royal ishtia, then according to the din, since it's royal ishtia, that's not called borer. In other words, Rashi speaks about, do we drink it or do we not drink it? Who's out there? You know, Rashi's taking a census to see if most of the population are going to drink it or most of the population would not drink it. The Rashba throws in a different element here, and he says royal ishtia. In other words, it would seem to me, if I'm reading the Rashba correctly, that royal ishtia means that even if a percentage, a representation, even if it's the silent minority of people in the population would drink it, then it already is mufka from borer. But then the Rashba says the following, that even if it's royal ishtia, since most people would not drink it in this state, therefore the Rabbanan said it's asur to use a certain kind of a kli, a mishameres. This is a kli that's used for sinun, for purposes of sifting out and removing the sediments, but that's only borer de Rabbanan. So in other words, according to the Rashba, comes out the following. There are two categories of borer. There's borer de Oraisa and borer de Rabbanan. Borer d'oraisa would mean if you take something that's not royal achila, not royal ishtia, and you make it into royal ishtia, royal achila. That's already a very significant change, improvement, and that's a tikkun, and then you chayev from aleches borer. If on the other hand it's royal ishtia, although albeit most people would not drink it, that's not borer d'oraisa. But if you do it in a derech borer, meaning if you imitate the way normally borer would be done if it wasn't royal ishtia, namely you take this kli, which is called the mishameres, and you do shimur, then mid rabbanan it's asur. So rabbanan asur a case that would have been mutter midoraisa, but since it looks like borer, and you're doing it in the exact same way that a person would be borer had it been eno royal ishtia, the rabbanan asur. The Ran here on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes goes a step further, and he says, based on Shitas Rashi, that even if you're going to use a mishameres, even if you're going to use its kli, he says it's still is mutter. Notice he didn't accept this iser derabbanan of using a mishameres. So according to the Rashba, it's also mishameres min rabbanan. According to the Ran, it's mutter even with a mishameres. Now, if you get to the point which is described by Rashi, again, I want to get back to the Rashi one more time, where he writes, "Dibalav hachi mishsesei." Let me just throw out one possibility here. You can argue against me, but just one possibility that Balav Hachi Mishnasei, me without this Mishameres and this Sinun process, Mishnasei. Mishnasei means most people would eat it. Every person would eat it, would drink it. Because that's the situation of Yayin Ochur Bein Hagitos. And I think in this case, Rashi is saying that you're allowed to do it with a mishameres, and I think even the Rashba would agree to that. Notice, the Rashba was talking about a case where it's royal ishtia, but most people are not drinking in that state, and the Rashba says that's where the Rabbanon instituted their iser borer de Rabbanon, if he does it kiderech haborer with a what? With a mishameres. Rashi's talking about a different situation. Rashi's pointing about a situation where kulu shasasei. Now I'm adding the word to Rashi, kulu, but I'm saying that when Rashi says mishasei, that's what's available. And if that's what's available, then, you know, applying the theory of relativity right now, relative to the time and place that we're in, everybody drinks it in that way. You go out to the shuk and that's what they're going to sell you. Then there's no borer at all. And Rashi adds the explanation, and he says the ein bo zeh tikun. Rashi says ein kan tikun. What Rashi means ein kan tikun is that now you have two elements. It's royal ishtia, and not only that, shosasin. People drink it as is. If you have both those conditions, then Rashi says ein kan tikun, and it's not a malach at all.
It's not mishameres.
Correct, and you can use it even with a mishameres. And the reason I think is similar to what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah based on the sugya in Beitza, that at some point it's not considered a meleches machsheves. It's not called a significant enough tikkun, and if it doesn't have a shein malach at all, then we don't apply the principle of potter amalasa. But as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, that when it's lacking in meleches machsheves, it doesn't have a shein malach at all, that it's patur umutar. And we've seen things like this in the past. Okay. The Rambam, on the other hand, as we said over and over again, has a different approach. And I would like to understand what the approach of the Rambam is, and when would the Rambam allow you to do sinun b'mishameres with regard to yayin? When would he not allow you to do so? So let me just put the Mishnah Berurah on the side here for a minute and take up the Rambam. The Rambam here is in Perek Ches Halacha Yudalit, and the Rambam says the following: Hamishamer yayin O Sheben, O Mayim, V'chein Shar Hamashkim, B'mishameres Shalehen, Chayav. Now, the Rambam is talking about a case of Yayin that has sediments in it. The Rambam requires a shear of Grogeris. Okay, that's not my subject now, but clearly, the Rambam is saying that you're Chayav. Under what circumstances and in what situations is the Rambam going to allow you to be Mishamer Yayin? And here are the two exceptions to the rule. Exception number one is Misananim Yayin She'en Bo Shmarim. This is what the Gemara calls Tzolul. Omayim Tzlulim. He says it explicitly. So in the case where it's Tzolul, you know, there might be here and there a microscopic amount of Shmarim in it. He wants to remove that. That's not called meleches mishamer. And then the Rambam has the other exception to the rule of yayin migito, because here the Rambam says the shmarim have not been separated from the yayin at all, and therefore it's considered guf echad. But Rabosai, if we leave out the two exceptions of the Rambam. In other words, let's talk about a scenario of Yayin that's not Yayin Migito. And the Shmarim have already, shall we say, separated from the Yayin in a way that they have been born, you know, they've come into the world, they've come into their own, they are now a separate entity. And, well, let's talk about a Metzius where it's not She'ein Bo Shmarim, it's not Sol, it's Achur. Then what would you say in such a case? If he uses the Mishameres, he's Chayev. No ifs, ands, and buts. What I'm trying to suggest here, Abosai, again, I'm not trying to look for the Chumra of the Week Club, but just want to learn the Rambam, Kipshuto. Where are all the, you know, the stipulations and the conditions that Rashi and the Rashba and the Ran all accepted? That, you know what, it's Roy Lishtia, and therefore it's not Doraisa. Well, maybe most people wouldn't drink it, and therefore there's an Isur Darabanan according to the Rashba. And the Ran goes as far as to say it's not even Osam Darabanan Mishaberes. I mean, that's all left out of the Rambam. Let me try to explain what I mean. Rashi tells you that the key to this whole sugya is, are they drinking the wine or are they not drinking the wine? The Rambam doesn't mention a word about, are they drinking the wine or are they not drinking the wine? Where did Rashi get this concept, are they drinking the wine as is with the Shmarim, are they not drinking the wine? Rashi got it from the Gitos. Remember, the Gemara tried to defend Zairi against the Brisa of Shimon by saying that the Brisa of Shimon is talking about Gitos, which Rashi says is Shasa Gitos, and therefore Rashi introduced a whole new element into the Sugya Borer, namely, would people drink it as is, or would they not drink it as is? And if they're drinking it as is, that's not called Borer. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a different pshat in Gitos, where the Rambam says the Shmarim have not separated themselves as a separate entity, and therefore it's called Guf Echad. So the Rambam doesn't have any source for this distinction, are they drinking it as is, are they not drinking it as is? And therefore I think the Rambam came to the conclusion that HaMashamer Yayin is absolute Chayav. HaMashamer Yayin B'Mishmeres Shalem Chayav. Again, he has to do Kishir, but if he did a Kishir, then he's chayav. So Rabosai, let me just summarize what I think. Again, everyone could fight with me, and you'll have to go through the Rambam carefully and see if the language of the Rambam bears me out. I think there's a fundamental machlokas here between all the Rishonim that we've seen so far and the Rambam. All the Rishonim are saying, well, is there Meleches Borer? Is there not Meleches Borer? The answer is, depends whether you would drink it as is, with the Shmarim inside, and therefore there's no Meleches Borer, or is it so intolerable that everyone and their uncle will do this process of Mishameris in order to clean it of its sediments? The Rambam doesn't have that distinction, that qualification. The Rambam says it all depends on whether there are Shmarim in the wine, and the Shmarim have at some point separated themselves after the Shas Agitos, when the Shmarim settled down. And once they settled down, then you have a problem of two Gufim and Meleches Borer. So Rabosai, what is this all about? This whole to-do here about, you know, people are drinking it, they're not drinking it, there's no Borer according to Rashi and the other Rishonim, and the Rambam says no, even though people are willing to drink it, it's still Meleches Borer. The Rambam doesn't have that limitation. Okay. So, you know, I'm learning, in addition to this Perek, I'm also learning Perek Kira, which is the third Perek of Shabbos, the subject of which is Bishul. So Bishul tends to be my paradigm. So the Rambam has a very interesting chiddush. If you just turn one page here in Perek Tes, Mehilchos Shabbos, with regard to Meleches Borer. I'm sorry, with regard to Meleches Mevashel. And I think perhaps this Rambam is a breakthrough in Hilchos Shabbos. It's not just an exception to the rule, but it's a window through which we can get a grasp of the Rambam's perspective on Meleches Shabbos. Did that sound dramatic? Oh, good. Okay.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
The Rambam says the following: Hamavashel al ha'or davar shu mevushal kol tsarko.
Where are you reading?
I'm sorry, Perik Tes Halacha Gimel. Did I put this on the Maram Kova sheet? I don't even remember if I did or I didn't. But anyway, if I didn't, I meant to. Yeah, this would be paragraph Bays number 3. Do you see that on the Maram Kova's page?
Yeah.
All right. What happened here? The Rambam gives two cases where you're potter from Bishul. And the Magid Mishnah is going to be medayek that in these cases you're potter from Bishul, but not in other cases. Meaning there's a chiddush that's hidden in the Rambam Lechumra. And as we're reading this Rambam Lekula, the Rambam says you're potter. But since the Rambam says you're potter only if, and he raises the bar, therefore if it's less than that, you're going to be chayav. So what's the discussion here? The Rambam says that if you have food that's already cooked, that's called mevushal, called tsarko, and now you cook it again, the Rambam says you're potter. And this is the principle called ein bishul achar bishul. Now, in order to appreciate the diuk of the Magen Mishnah, let's mention the Ramban and the Rashba at the beginning of Perikir. The Ramban and the Rashba are of the opinion, listen carefully, that if Ruvain cooks food and it reaches the state of Kemichel Bendrosoi, Shimon now takes the food, or Ruvain himself, and cooks it called Sarko, then Shimon is potter. And that's called Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Meaning the Torah says that you can do a malacha once and not twice. You did Bishal, according to halacha, it's mevushal because it reached the state of Kemaychal Ben Josai, it's half cooked or whatever it is, a third, whatever it is. And now when you cook it again, we apply the principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Says the Magid Mishnah, let's read the Rambam carefully. The Rambam says Ein Bishal Achar Bishal in what case?
Cold
Sarkal. Says the Magid Mishnah, according to the Rambam, if Reuven had cooked the food up to Kemaychal Ben Josai, and now Shimon or Reuven himself, doesn't matter, cooks it from Kemaychal Ben Josai until it's fully cooked, he improves, he'd be chayav. And the Magid Mishnah is wondering about this because we have a principle called Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. So for example, let's take a case of Basar Mecholah, we can talk about Korban Pesach. When the Torah says that you're not allowed to cook meat and milk together, Reuven cooks meat and milk in a pot and it reaches Kemaychal Ben Josai. Shimon comes along and he cooks it from Kemaychal Ben Josai to Matkel till Mevushal called Sarko. Let's dramatize it. He improves it all the way. Is Shimon his pot? He's not chayav for the violation of los avashel gediba chalevim. Same thing happens in Korban Pesach. The Torah asks take the basar korban and be mevashel it. It's only tzli. And if you mevashel Korban Pesach, you chayav malchus for that. What happens if it was already mevushal to the point of what? Of Kemaychal Ben Josai. So the Gemara says, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. Frek the Magid Mishnah, and everybody asks this question based on the diuk of the Magid Mishnah. How could the Rambam go against all these sugyas and shas and assume that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal? The food already reached the state of Bishal, it's already at what? Kemaychal Ben Josai, and yet you're chayav for Bishal, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. In the exact same case in Basar Mechov, you'd be potter. In the same case in Korban Pesach, you'd be potter. So Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, used to say the following, that the Rambam holds that Shabbos is different. Because the Rambam Shita is that in Melecha Shabbos, we define the Melecha by its tikkun, by the impact that it has. And the Rambam holds that if it's mevushal called tsarko and you recook it, you have not added any significant tikkun. Again, maybe the, you know, the, what do they call them, those chefs, the...
Mason.
You know, they make the gourmet cooking. You know, maybe in gourmet cooking, you could take something beyond mevushel called sarko. Anybody know what that's called in halacha? When you take something beyond mevushel called sarko, if you're a gourmet cook? Shaul, you should remember it.
I should.
It's called mitztamek?
Rallo.
No, again, the gourmet cooking. Oh, it can't be rallo, because you know, otherwise you're going to fire the chef, right? It's mitztamek v'yofalo. That's called mitztamek v'yofalo. Okay. So the Rambam holds that mitztamek v'yofalo is not a significant tikkun. And therefore, even in Melecha Shabbos, if it had already reached mevushel called sarko, and now you're cooking again in order to get that extra mileage of mitztamek v'yofalo, you're not chayv. But if it's only kemaychel ben josai, and it's half cooked, such that the bandit on the run is going to eat it, but you and I would, again, now fish, you know, then now they have all sorts of new hamtzaot here. What do they call it? The uncooked fish. What's it called? The sushi. Sushi. Yeah. So in the, you know, it's already old. Okay, but for me, it's new. In fact, it's so new, I can't even get myself to try it. But today, I'm a little conservative when it comes to food. But so the Rambam holds the following: that if it's reached the state of kemaychel ben josai and it's the lo yotza mechlal chal shem sushi, then there's a significant tikkun if you cook it again. So if you're defining a maisa bishul, then the Rambam has to admit ein bishul achar bishul. Once it's mevushal, you can't do a maisa bishul on something that's mevushal. The halacha recognizes kemaychel ben josai, it's mevushal, is ein bishul achar bishul, and that's not called a violation of iser bishul in kol tarku. But in Shabbos, where the Torah says Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, Melechas Machsheves is some sort of significant tikkun, the Rambam holds that if you take this food that's only half cooked, and now you cook it so that it's mevushal called sarko, that's considered enough a tikkun that you chayv for Melechas Bishul. And in my mind, I always thought that this Rambam reminds me of the Ran that we spoke about at great length, for those who are here on what day of the week is today?
Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. On those who were here with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you remember the rant about removing the gago shel ches and making two zaymin. That in Melecha Shabbos, the significant fulcrum, so to speak, the weight, the Mishkal HaKovid shifts from the Maisa to the Totzas HaMaisa, to the Tikkun. Okay. Oh, so I'm thinking like this. Whereas the other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashba, are of the opinion at the beginning of Perek Hira. The Rashba is already in the first Perek in Daf Yud Ches. Anyway, they're of the opinion that once it's Mevushal, Al Pidin, because it reached Michael Ben Josai, is Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, which means that you can't do a Malacha and repeat the same Malacha twice on the same Cheftza. Is therefore, what would be the following scenario? Let's say that Reuven would take this yayin that has shmarim in it, and he would be mesanein the yayin. At this point, it becomes royal shtia, but he still left in quite a few shmarim. But it's royal shtia. Now comes along Shimon, and he takes this wine, and he's mesanein the wine a second time around. What principle would apply according to all the Rishonim, except for the Rambam? Ein sinin achas sinin, ein birur ein borer achas borer. What I mean to say is that once the shame borer was chal, because you crossed the mavar, you know, you crossed this crossing between Eidah royal shtia and royal shtia, says the Rashba, at this point there's no meleches meshamer. Why? This is a Rashba l'shitasa. Because just like in Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, which means you can't do the same Malacha twice on the same object, so too the Malacha's Borer, you can't violate the same Malacha twice. You've already made it Royal Shtia in the first Sinud. Now you come along and you want to do a further process of Sinud. By the way, is that second process of Sinud significant? Absolutely. The answer is yes, with three exclamation marks, because although it's royal ishtia, who would drink it? Okay, somebody will drink it. You know, if he's a bandit on the run, he'll drink it. But But it's royal ishtiyah. Comes on the Rashba and he says, you know what? Once it's royal ishtiyah, you've already done the process of sinun. The second sinun will not generate a violation of Lechas Borer. The Rabbanim might be nervous about it, that if you use a Mishameres, they're going to answer it. The Ran is not even impressed with that. Comes along the Rambam, and he says, no, you're going to violate Melechas Sinun, even if you're taking something from the state of royal ishtiyah, but most people would not drink it, and you do a second sinun. Because the Rambam is not bothered in Hilchos Shabbos by a second malach that improves the first malach. The Rambam just wants to measure and gauge, is there a significant improvement as a result of the malacha? I can take the same chefetz, like in the case of Kemaychel ben Josoi, and I can create a significant improvement by bringing it to what? To Mavushal called Tzok, and the Rambam is going to say, I'm chayef. There's no absolute rule, ain't bishal achar bishal. It all depends upon tikkun and meleches machshevus. The same thing as in sinun. Is Mamela, the Rambam had a major problem. Because he looked at Rashi, and Rashi says that the heter ben agitos here in Kuf Lamites is because people are drinking the wine. And Rashi says, so the Rambam asked himself the following question, okay, people are drinking the wine. Is it a significant change? Is it not? Now, the wine will sell for the same price with the impediment. But hold on to this wine for another month after the Ben Agitos. Or for example, in the case where most people would not drink the wine, and now the Rashba says, well, it's royal ishtiyah, and therefore there's no meleches borer, there's no misanein and no mishameres, is the Rambam couldn't understand that. How could you derive from the Gemara of Gitos, of Ben Agitos, this radical conclusion that even a significant improvement in the quality of the wine through this process of Mishameres is not a violation of Melech HaShabbos? Is the Rambam racked his brains. And he didn't know what to do with this Gemara. So what did he do with the Gemara? The Gemara is talking about Guf Echad or Shtei Gufos. And the Rambam had to come up with a whole new breakthrough here. Whereas Rashi and the other Rishonim, they came up with the fact that the Gemara Kipshuta is talking about whether or not people drink it with the wine. And now you have to ask yourself, how do you divide it up? Is it drinkable? Most people, some people, representative, and you go into all the details until you finally come up with a definition of Melech Esborer. The Rambam said, no, I can't accept that. Because as long as there's some significant change, you are in violation of Melech Es Meshamer. And that's why the Rambam in his opening line here in Aloch Yudal, Perikhas Aloch Yudal, doesn't qualify and make any distinction. Says the Rambam is an absolute chiyuv in Melech Es Meshamer. Oh, says the Rambam, now has to go back to square one and interpret the Gemara. Says the Rambam, the question is, during the Gitos period, have the Shmarim emerged and define themselves as a separate entity, or is it Guf Echad? And the Rambam holds that as long as it's very new at the time of Gitos, you didn't even give a chance for the sediments to settle down, they're still mixed up completely in the wine as they are in nature. The Rambam says that's called Guf Echad, and therefore there's no Meleches Borer.
Rabbi, I have a question.
I just want to let it sink in a little bit before you ask your question. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not a question.
I want to make a Birchas HaNenim. Then afterwards, you know, you'll ask me whether I make a Bar Nefashos afterwards. What time is it, Rabosa? Do we still have a little bit of time?
20 minutes.
So let me ask you to hold on to your questions for just a moment, because if you have the Mara Makomos page, which I misplaced right now, temporarily. Oh, here it is. So we have a Beis Yosef that I think will shed a whole new light on Meleches Borer. The Beis Yosef reads the Rambam very carefully in Perek Ches, Halachas Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Now I know we have here somewhere in this hodgepodge of Mara Makos, we have the Beis Yosef. Oh, thank you so much.
There's one more set here.
We have an extra set if anybody wants to take it, going once, yeah, going twice. Okay, I'll give you this afterwards. So this is the Beis Yosef at the beginning of Shin Yud Tes. Okay, and Gedal, you'll be very excited about this place, Yosef, because I
very
think.
Test what? You know, but what?
Where?
In the Rambam.
Shinyu test is in the Beis Yosef. The, and he's being medayik in the Rambam in Perkes in many, many different halachas, which we'll see. Okay. So he says the following. If you take a look in halacha Yud Gimel, after the Rambam has established in a general sense in Halacha Yud Beis that in Birer Li'alter Mutter, the Rambam goes on and he says, what's this all about? You know, the rational mind is curious to know what is called Li'alter. And he says, Habor Psolas Mitoch Ochel Chayav. Again, I'm leaving out that which is not immediately relevant to us. And he says that a borer hayul fun of shnei mini ochlin muravim borer echad umenicho, etc., etc. And that's the case where he separates two minim. So again, as we discussed at great length in the past, the Rambam is divided into two hakofas. It's hakofa aleph and hakofa beis. Hakofa aleph is talking about psolas and ochel, and hakofa beis is talking about shnei mini ochlin. Now we get to halacha. Halacha Yud Gimel, but the end of Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says the following: in the case of Ochel Mitoch Psoles, the Rambam says that if it's La Nicho, is Afilu Lebo Bayom Nase Keborer Liotzar Vechay. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of a game with you here. You know, for pedagogic purposes, and we'll see if I'm successful. If you cover the Sefer of the Rambam, and you're willing to, you know, put on blinders here, just focus on the Resha of the Rambam. The Rambam says that in order to be matir, to allow and remove Meleches Borer, you need that it be Li'alter, correct? It needs to be Li'alter. And the Rambam says, on the other hand, if it's La'nicho, which is the opposite, the flip side of Li'alter, then Afilu Imhu Lebo Bayom, he's Chayev. Correct? Afilu Lebo Bayom. So I want to ask you the following question, but again, try not to cheat and see the next paragraph in the Rambam. What would be if he took out the ochel shachris and he wants to eat it mincha time? What would you say? Is that called the altar?
No.
No, it's chai. This is the diuk of the Beis Yosef. And what gives the Beis Yosef the right to say so? Because if you take a look at the Sefer of the Rambam, here the Rambam says, Hoyu lefan of shnei mini ochlim, mu'uravim. And the Rambam says, in Bira Laniach, he's going to be Chayav. And what's Laniach? Says the Rambam, it's going to be Kigon Shev Birer B'Shachris Lechol Ben Harbayim. Now, says the Beis Yosef, there's a long distance of time here between Shachris and Ben Harbayim. Imagine if he davens Vasikin, okay? So there's maybe 6 hours here, or I don't know, maybe more even, because Ben Harbayim, you have to add another half hour. And the Rambam says that's not called Li'alter. What would you say about the following, says the Beis Yosef? Let's say he separates the two minim shachris, and he's going to eat it Musaf time, not Bein Arbayim. That, says the Beis Yosef, would still be considered Li'alter. So the Beis Yosef says, how could that be? We've just established, based on the Rambam, in the beginning of this halacha, that Li'alter means for immediate use, and the Rambam doesn't say that he can push it off for an hour or two, and yet when he gets to the Sefer, the Rambam seems to assume that the only case which is La'nicho is from Shachris to Bein Arbayim. Let's read it again. He says, V'yambirer v'yiniach li'achar zman, kigon shabir v'shachris lechol Bein Arbayim chayav. But anything less than that, says the Beis Yosef, anything that would be sandwiched in between Shachris and Bein Arbayim, that would be mutter. So what the Beis Yosef does for us is he creates a Tzvei Dinu, but he doesn't explain the tzveidim. He says the following: if it's a case of ochel and psoles, then he says li alter requires that it be mamish li alter for immediate use. If on the other end it's shnei mini ochlim, yes, he will be chayv from aleches borer, but only if he's going to put it aside for shachris to bein arbayim. But if on the other hand he's going to use it an hour from now or 2 hours from now, that's already mutter and it's considered lialter. And again, Rabosai, I'm excited about this Beis Yosef on one level. I'm disappointed on another level, but I'm excited because the Beis Yosef saw two different dinim in the Rambam, which is something that, if anybody remembers what we discussed last week, I made a big to-do about this. This was very exciting to me. That if you're very careful about reading the Rambam, he's got two different halachas over here. There's one borer, which the Rambam says, you know, it depends, did you take ochel from psoles, did you take psoles from ochel? And then there's another borer where the Rambam holds it has nothing to do with ochel and psoles. If you remember Rav David Armor and the way he interpreted the Rambam. So there were definitely two categories of Meleches Borer here, the same Halach in the Rambam. But now Beis Yosef is adding a little extra Chizuk. And he says there's another Nafkamina between these two categories of Meleches Borer. Whereas the first category of Meleches Borer, where you have Psolus and Ochel, if you take out the Ochel, you're only Potter if you eat it immediately, if it's Lealter Mamish, we'll call it. Whereas in the case of Shnei Mini Ochlim, the opposite is true. When is it considered Liachar Zman? When it's from Shachris to what? To Bein or Bain. But Lialter is a much more expanded period of time. What I'm disappointed in, this is the letdown for me, is that the Beis Yosef doesn't tell you why. It's very nice, and I think he's Meduyuk, his Chiddush is Meduyuk in the Lashon Rambam. But why should it be so? If Lialta means immediately, it should always be immediately. If it can mean a longer period of time, it should always allow me for a longer period of time.
Edible food, the next meal is the next meal coming up. If it's not edible, it's not edible.
You mean, is it edible before he does the borer? Is that what you're talking about? I mean, after he does the borer, for sure it's edible.
Psoles and Ochav Mochel. Right. Psoles is always psoles, and you can't use it. But if you do this and you got a next meal coming up, you're not really preparing for tomorrow. It's still the Shabbos, and you got one meal in your next meal.
So let me try to understand what you're saying, Mitch. If it's psoles, mitoch ochel, or the other way around, then what? Then it's...
You never have a use for the psoles.
You never have a use for psoles.
So it's you're over. But if you wake up Shabbos morning and you got this pile of stuff, and you use this for breakfast and this for lunch, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But two meals, this is too much.
I'm not sure if what I want to say is the same as what you're saying. So I'm going to say what I want to say, and you tell me if you had that in mind, that's great.
Don't make him
rude. You know. I once was in the Roshes, so he asked for a hezbollah, so I gave him a beer. So I said it in about 30 seconds. I mean, he has no patience, Rav Soloveitchik, so he cut me off after 30 seconds. Then for about 20 minutes, literally, he gave him beer. And then he turns to me and says, Berzon, is that what you meant? So I said, of course, Rabbi. What was I supposed to say? I want to get an A in the course. So I wanted to say the following. Maybe that's what Mitch is saying. I want to say the following. Every melacha requires a tikkun. As we discussed over and over again, meleches machshavas asur tov. The Rambam says that if you have ochel and psoles, that's a very impressive, significant tikkun. The ochel now is edible. And before it wasn't edible, or if it was edible, it was edible b'dochak because of the psoles that's mixed in. Who would want to eat ochel with psoles together in one bite? That's a significant tikkun. And therefore the Rambam said to himself, by separating ochel and psoles, you should be chayav even if it's lialter. Why? Because that is borer. Borer means tikkun ha'ochel. And whether you took psolus from ochel or ochelus, but psolus in both cases, you have the identical tikkun of ochel. And therefore the rabbi had a kash. He didn't understand, why does the Gemara add this sugi that we're doing on Ayin Dalet, why does it add this precondition of Lialta? Lialta shouldn't make any bit of a difference. So the rabbi came up with a new chiddush. That if you're doing it Lialta, that's not called Derech Borer. Again, in theory, in pure abstract terms, your impact on the Ochel and your Tikkun is so significant, if you measure it in terms of its significance, that you should be chayv always, even when you eat it Lialta. Comes along the Rambam and he says, no, now you're not doing it b'derech brera, you're doing it b'derech achila. You're not trying to be metake the Ochel, you're just eating the Ochel. Do you hear the difference? But now the Rambam gets to the case of Shnei Mini Ochel. And here the Rambam says, you're not making a very great impact through your Borer. Where's the Tikkun over here? So if you take a look carefully in the Rambam tells you exactly what the Tikkun is. The Rambam says in the Sefer, he says the following, and the Rambam says that the reason why this is a tikkun is because they are mu'uravim. Now, when you have things that are mu'uravim, what is going to be your meleches borer? Right? Let's say, for example, I'll give you the following mashal. Mashal amount over and over. I'm a farmer, right? And I have to market my produce. So what do you market over here? You know, there's a crate of carrots and there's a crate of apples. I don't know, keep going on and on, like we spoke about, you know, lettuce as opposed to sprouts and so forth and so on. So what does the farmer do in order to ship out his and market his produce?
Separates.
He separates them into what?
Boxes.
Into minim. Obviously into boxes, but I'm saying minim, right? So that's called separating minim. Separating minim is a whole new kind of thing. There's no tikkun or ochel over here. That's not the meleches machsheves in the case of Shnei Mini Ochel. The meleches machsheves is that in order to facilitate his ability to market his produce, he's going to have to separate two minim. So the Rambam says the following, that if I can have some sort of an indication that he's not interested in marketing his produce, he's not interested in storing carrots in one box, lettuce in another box, and sprouts in a third box, he's just interested in deciding what he's going to eat for breakfast, what he's going to eat for lunch, that already removes and undermines the very nature of his malacha. So here the Rambam says the li'alta doesn't have to be li'alta mamish. Lialta mamish has to be to create a derech achila, to change from the tikkun ochel to something called achila. I'm no longer being metake in the ochel, I'm eating the ochel. And for that you need what? Lialta mamish, immediately. But in the case of storage, you know, in the case where he's chayav not because of tikkun ochel, there was no tikkun ochel here, because a carrot mixed, you know, lettuce mixed in with sprouts is just as good as lettuce separated from sprouts. You haven't in any way superiorized the quality of the ochel. So the Rambam says the only mechayav that you can have here is because you're doing an act which is obviously done for long-term purposes, you know, to preserve a separation between the minim. And that's what the farmers had to do. Says the Rambam, here I can be much more flexible and all-inclusive about the altar. And if he's using it in an hour from now, you know, and in 2 hours from now, he wants to have a salad with lettuce, and he's not interested in a salad with sprouts in it, because his little child, you know, his 8-year-old doesn't like sprouts. So that's called already not for long-term purposes. And then we could already say that it's not considered b'derech
chametz. Then why is Ben Arbayim considered? He should be, Boba Yom entirely should be okay.
So the Rambam holds that when can I say that it's obvious that it's not derech otzer, that it's not done for the purpose of long-term trend, when he's immediately eating it. Not immediately, but within a short period of time. But once again, he's going from Shachris to Ben Arbayim, that's already considered derech otzer. Rabosai, We'll stop here. Wish everyone atzlocha. Keep in mind that once a year we have this, this, how do you say, magbit again? I always forget how to say it.